Welcome to First Presbyterian Church of Allentown's Sermon Podcast. As we approach God's Word, let's take a prayerful breath. Breathe in, breathe out. Listen to God's Word this day.
Let us pray. Holy God, by your Spirit, reveal your radical, surprising love. Come to us through your holy word, and let us hear what you are saying to us as it inspires us in this day. Before I read the first scripture, the American Sign Language sign for Jesus is that you hold your one hand up, you take your middle finger and touch your palm, and then you touch your palm with the other hand. Jesus. The first scripture from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 24, verses 36 through 43. Let us hear the word of God. While they were talking about this, Jesus stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." They were startled and terrified and thought that they were seeing a ghost. And Jesus said to them, "Why are you frightened? And why do doubts arise in your hearts? Look at my hands and my feet, and see that it is I myself. Touch me and see, for a ghost does not have flesh and bones as you see that I have." And when he said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. Yet for all their joy, they were still disbelieving and wondering. And Jesus said to them, "Have you anything to eat?" And they gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate it in their presence. The second scripture reading is from the fourth Psalm, verses 4 through 8. When you are disturbed, do not sin. Ponder it on your beds and be silent. Selah. Offer right sacrifices and put your trust in the Lord. There are many who say, "Oh, that we might see some good. Let the light of your face shine on us, O Lord." You have put gladness in my heart, more than when their grain and wine abound. I will both lie down and sleep in peace, for you alone, O Lord, make me lie down in safety. And the third reading from the book of Acts, chapter 3, verses 17 through 19. "And now, brothers and sisters, I know that you acted in ignorance, as did also your rulers. In this way, God fulfilled what he foretold through all the prophets, that his Messiah would suffer. Repent, therefore, and turn to God, so that your sins may be wiped out." And we respond, "This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God."
Holy God, for all your good and gracious gifts, we are truly thankful. Heal us today as we hear your words, and make the words of my mouth healing in this day, in this room, and for all who hear. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. So in thinking about this gospel text, and it is in the lectionary for today, that list that we use to go through the scriptures, I wanted to show this video clip first from Charlotte's Web. Anybody ever see that movie? Read the book. I must have read it half a dozen times when I was a kid. Let's watch.
How can he be in every cornfield?
It can't be the same guy. It can't be.
He's wearing the same hat. I'm telling you, he is following us.
I hate that guy.
I have got to get some guard, Owen.
All right. This is crazy. There's two of us, right? Trust me, there's two of us, and there's only one of him.
I don't know, man. He scares me. He really does.
Just think about that. Corn.
Yeah.
Corn.
The corn.
Corn.
All right, let's do it! Let's do it! Ah! 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 Aboard!
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 Man, he is good. I bet he's laughing at us.
Don't look at him. Don't even give him.
Know that birds don't talk, right? You know that. And you know that scarecrows aren't real, right? Yeah, yeah. But do you ever feel like that sometimes? Yeah, it's a scary world out there sometimes, isn't it? We have challenges that we face. We have things we don't like. Yeah. The unknown, it can cause you harm, you know, this world. And if you haven't been, then you are fortunate, harmed by this world. So are the birds anything like us in that larger sense, do you think? Or is it just birds that are afraid of things they don't understand? Is it just birds? No. Are we sometimes afraid of something so much that we make it bigger than it is? Are we, or do we imagine that it's something that it's not? Do we make it into something bigger, or do we turn it into something it's not when we're afraid? Anybody ever do that? Okay, I got some hands anyway. Good. I mean, the birds are saying, I'm telling you, that guy is following us. He scares me. How can he be in every cornfield? Everyone. It can't be the same guy. Does that sound anything similar to our gospel story today? That can't be the same guy. He keeps appearing everywhere. And he was, if you read the scriptures. So can you try to put yourself in the place of the disciples here? Like Erica did with the kids? Can you think about what that might have meant to those disciples at that time? I mean, it was crazy, right? This resurrection thing. He was disappearing and reappearing right in front of them, walking through walls. Read the scriptures. Would you be a little bit brightened, a little like, wow, what's going on? I think I would. I think anybody would. But notice what Jesus says right away when Jesus appears to them. What does he say? Peace. Peace be with you. In other words, in today's vernacular, it would be calm down. Calm down. Peace. Peace. And he almost seems to not understand what they're going through. Because he says, why are you frightened? Duh. Why do doubts arise in your mind? Well, okay, we got that one. Doubts, why? Because look. And he says, look at my hands and my feet. I'm flesh and bones, he says. Touch me. Do ghosts? They thought it was a ghost. He said, I'm not a ghost. Do ghosts have bones and flesh? I don't know. Do ghosts have bones and flesh? Anybody here know? I don't. You know, Connor? Connor is so wise. Yeah. Jesus here is using logic to address emotion. They're afraid. He's using logic. He's using reason. Ghosts don't have those things. And then he says, well, okay, you still don't believe me? Do you got any food? Got any food? I'll eat it in front of you, and you won't see it going down my gullet. So he eats the food. Do ghosts eat food? I don't know. Probably not. But these are the things Jesus used to try to convince the disciples that he was indeed in the flesh. He was indeed truly a human being. He was there in reality. And the disciples were a little confused, obviously, and rightly. What was then the purpose of Jesus popping in and out of their lives? Their already upset lives, because they couldn't understand what was happening. It was very, very different and new. So what I see in this passage is Jesus trying to convince the disciples that rising from the dead was actually possible. And today, we aren't there yet, but, you know, compared to back then, people do rise from the dead, CPR and, you know, coming back from near-death experience. I mean, it happens. Not quite the same way. But it was shocking, even by today's standards. In the midst of this revelation for the disciples, maybe Jesus was also trying to let them know that what was needed from them was a few things, because they had a job to do. They had a job to do. And what they needed maybe was a bit of resilience. You know what resilience is, right? It's like bouncing back. You get hit by something, you bounce back to neutral in the face of this miracle, which was bound to bring these things, uncertainty and chaos. So when new things happen in your life, do things change? When new things happen in the world, does the world change? Yeah? No? Yeah? Yeah. Think Pearl Harbor. Think personal computers. Think pandemic. Think vaccine after pandemic. Think internet, smartphones. I particularly like automatic doors. And like those runways in airports where you can, you know, don't have to walk so far. It'll carry you. Yeah, that's pretty cool. Did you all have your eclipse glasses and look at the sun? Some of you? Yeah. You know, I don't know if you could do that like 30 years ago. Yeah. New amazing things cause big changes, and this was no different because it was real. It was real, and these disciples saw it. So while the crucifixion was kind of, you know, traumatic, don't you think? Yeah, ugly. It was happening all over the place. They understood that. Do you think the resurrection was traumatic? Maybe. A little bit. Like, whoa. So what made these disciples able to go out into the world and proclaim this crazy story about a holy guy rising from the dead who didn't even hang around to show everybody else? I mean, right after this is the ascension, Jesus goes up to heaven and leaves us all here to go, okay, you do it. You tell everyone about me. What gave them that courage? Well, we know that trauma can cause PTSD. You know what that is? Post-traumatic stress disorder. You know about that? Trauma can do that in some people. But did you also know that trauma can actually cause growth? Did you know that? It actually causes growth more than it causes PTSD, according to research. And I'm not trying to discount anyone's, you know, responses, because they're all valid. There's so many different factors that go into us dealing with traumas in our lives, sufferings in our lives, chaos in our lives, whatever is happening in our lives that we don't like. There's lots of different things, different ways that we respond to it. There is. And all of them are valid. You know, we are who we are. We feel what we feel. Things happen to us the way they happen. And that's okay. We have to deal with that as it is. That's a truth. But some people get stronger after a traumatic experience. Has anyone ever heard of that? Yeah. Yeah, it happens. I've read lots of accounts of that. So in the gospel lesson, Jesus seems to be trying to lead his disciples into thinking a different way. A way that included the amazing reality of Jesus' resurrection. A reality that has since been repeated over and over for the last 2,000 years, and we're still talking about it. That's amazing in itself. Why? People don't take such risks for a lie. Because it wasn't a lie. It was true. It was good news. We are eternal beings, and we can live after death, just like Jesus did. That is what was good. So I think Jesus was promoting three things here: resilience, reality, and reassurance. Look at the scripture. This is what Jesus seems to be doing, at least in my view. Resilience, telling them to be resilient. Understand reality. This is real here. And reassurance. I'm with you. I'm here. Have you ever heard of the Templeton Foundation? Anybody ever heard of the Templeton Foundation? It's very close here in Conshohocken near Philadelphia. So Sir John Templeton established the Templeton Prize for Progress in Religion. So it's about spiritual things in 1972. And it's a cash gift that actually exceeds the Nobel Prize amount, honoring people whose exemplary achievements harness the power of the sciences on one hand to explore the deepest questions of the universe and humankind's place and purpose in it. So it's spiritual and religion together. I mean, it's spiritual and science together. I got a blog this week from that. I get their blogs, Templeton Foundation Ideas blog, and it talked about a group in the Midwest who run an organization called the Anti-Fragility Academy. Anti-Fragility Academy. So you know what fragile is, right? In this world, we're kind of fragile, aren't we, as beings? A lot can hurt us. Like, a rock falls on you. You could break your arm. You could slip and fall and hit your head and it hurts you. We're pretty fragile as physical human beings. He's not talking about that, though. He's talking about the idea that considers the world that we inhabit, there's a lot in which we inhabit, there's uncertainty and chaos, and it happens a lot. Have you ever experienced that? There's uncertainty here. You know what's going to happen when you walk out the door? Maybe that's something you have to think about. I don't know. Because we don't understand all of it, do we? Do you understand the universe? I don't. No. Sometimes I'm afraid of that scarecrow. Yeah. Because we're by nature a little fragile. However, anti-fragility is the idea that even living in such a world, it is possible to actually grow from our traumas and become better, stronger, find peace and prosperity. Because of that uncertainty and trauma, we take it, we turn around, and we turn it to good. Research shows that too. Some people call this resilience, but like I said, that's resilience is, you get hit by something and you have a little mark maybe, and then it just heals. Like Erica said, we have a little bit of resilience, right? We can get back to normal. Anti-fragility is the idea that stressors can actually help us be stronger, more whole. Jesus was also asking, he was using reality to address people's concerns. Reality, something that is true, something we should hold on to, reality. That sometimes we turn reality, do we think something isn't, do we turn it into something that isn't true? Reality is true. And Jesus was actively reassuring them by his presence. He was following them around, wasn't he? Resilience, reality, and reassurance are the concept that Jesus was teaching them. He was asking his disciples to be resilient. They could get through this. He knew that. He was asking his disciples to see reality. What is true is something we need to hold on to get through things. And he was asking his disciples to be reassured. God can do lots of things we can't. So we can trust God for those. And Jesus is asking that of us too. Today, through this scripture, maybe. Can you believe again after a setback? Do you know people who have had a difficult time with that? We can help them. If you can, Jesus is asking, can you get through this life, these sufferings, these traumas, whatever's in your life? Everybody has something. Do you see reality and not just what you want to see? Jesus is asking. Can you find peace knowing God is with you? Jesus is asking you. If you can, it might mean you can actually grow from these things that happen to you and create more potential. Jesus certainly made a big scene back then, didn't he? And he started something. He started something that we're still working with. because we have a big job to do. They did, and so do we. Jesus is asking us the same thing today. Are you going to lay in your bed and lament like the psalmist? Or are you going to hang back because you're uncertain? No, you're here, so you're all part of this already, I hope. Paul in Romans says this, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. And you are part of this. We should embrace that anti-fragility that maybe in this scripture Jesus is showing his disciples and is showing to us, that God puts upon your hearts and souls and go and change the world with that truth, with the resilience, reality, and reassurance Jesus gives us, God gives us. And by the way, I'm telling you, that guy is following us around. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Thank you for listening to First Presbyterian Church of Allentown's Sermon Podcast. We hope you'll join us for worship on Sunday morning. For more information about our congregation and our ministries, please contact the church office. Now go in peace.